Lord, we just come before you, a holy God. There is none other besides thee. Father, we just ask that you permeate and fill this building this morning, Lord, this sanctuary, this place of worship, that we're able to come and just to give you glory and to worship you this morning. Father, we ask that you will just touch and just work, Lord. Father, help me in this time and this morning. Father, give me words to speak, Lord. And Father, we ask that you just bless each and every family that's represented here, each every individual, Lord, just bless them. Father, I ask that you'll put a hedge of protection around them and around all that believe in your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have many problems in our nation today. Many seem to have a solution to our problem. Many say that we need to return back to God, that we want our nation to return back to God. And I agree, would like to see the nation return back to God. But before any of that would happen, the church, she's going to have to return back to personal holiness. This is quite a subject to preach on. Personal holiness will be the subject that I'll preach on this morning. The text will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Quite a subject to preach on in one sermon. Where to begin was a question that I asked myself, because each and every one of us struggle here in this congregation, other congregations abroad this morning, with personal holiness. Each and every one of us have sinned against God. So I asked myself the question, where shall I begin? And the only place I can begin is with God and God's Word. So this morning we're going to be focusing on First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Let's define that word holiness. To me, holiness belongs to God. God is holy. God's character is holy. Holy signifies that God the Father is perfect. Perfectly pure without sin. Perfectly immaculate. That is, God is spotless, undefiled, without spot or blemish. God is perfectly complete, having no deficiency. God is perfect in all his ways. God's holiness shows us God's character, and God's character holiness defines all of God's characters and his attributes. Scripture reveals unto us that God is holy, therefore shall we be holy. Scripture reveals unto us that our Father in heaven is perfect, and we should be as our Father in heaven, perfect. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ saying that we should be holy as our Lord and Savior is holy, as our Father in heaven is holy. In the passage that Rob read this morning, what other response could Isaiah give when he seen the holiness of our God? That it brought him to the moment of repenting of his sins and seeing his own sinful nature. Holiness as it relates to Christians, consecrated, set apart by the will of God, consecrated, set apart to do God's service. Personal holiness is a work of the Holy Spirit gradually developing believers. Here are seven ways the Holy Spirit ministers to all believers. First, he calls unbelievers to salvation. Second, he convicts of sin. Third, the Holy Spirit is the active agent role in the new birth. Being born again refers to regeneration. The process in which we are born again is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He convicts us of sin. He calls us to salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, leading us to be born again. Fourth, the Holy Spirit indwells in all believers. Fifth, the Holy Spirit seals all believers. This ministry of the Holy Spirit to seal each and every believer is assurance of salvation. Thank God that we have a God that is all powerful, that He sent the Holy Spirit to seal us, that nobody can pluck us out of His hands, that we are sealed into the family of God. And that is something to praise God about. Six, the Holy Spirit illuminates the truth in the minds of believers, teaching them the truth of God's word. Seven, the Holy Spirit intercedes for all believers. And Pastor Freddie mentioned that this morning in his prayer. Thank God that the Holy Spirit prays for us where we do not know where to pray for or have not the words to pray for. You know, I was sitting this morning thinking and just meditating. Over 10 years ago, I would be in a little country church this time of morning, and a man of God came across my mind, Deacon Sherrill, and he used to just tell me, you have to work out your own soul salvation, but he also only had about one song, and that one song was that the church needs more of its workers to be workers in the field. And that's where personal holiness meets the road. Because if we have that holiness, we're going to follow Christ wherever He leads, as the hymn said this morning. But I want to go on now and turn our focus back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. God did not call us to a life of sin. God didn't call you to live any old way you wanted to live. No, God has called you to a life of holiness. God has set all that believe in Him in the name of Jesus Christ apart. God has set us apart to a life of obedience. No man, woman, or child is perfect by their own merits. There is none good, no, not one, for all have sinned. So, really, this puts us all on the same playing ground. There's none holier than thou in this crowd or outside this church. A life of obedience is a life of personal holiness, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, gradually developing believers worked out through many trials and tribulations, perfecting us to the image of Christ. I'm not the same as I was when I first got saved. But by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit working in me, I'm less like the world today and more like Christ. Scripture says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by your gospel, our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And He's saying, if He doesn't go away, the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. But if I will depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. He will prove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will reprove, convince the world of sin, convict the world of sin, convince them of coming judgment, convict them of judgment, and convince them of His righteousness. Howbeit, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will glorify Christ according to the words of Christ. According to the word of God. God has set us apart for service unto him. Scripture says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your faith, your fruit unto holiness, in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ in our Lord. Now I want to turn our attention to the phrase that God hath called us. Here in this verse, we plainly see that God has called us not to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. So many times we see individuals, and I know of individuals, that can come to church on Sunday morning and live a totally separate life the rest of the week. So many times have I stumbled in my own life and have beaten myself up because I've not done the right thing and I have sinned against God. But I want to say today that God didn't call us to live in uncleanliness. He didn't say you was going to be perfect. The scriptures I've read already, it is a process in which the Holy Spirit perfects it through you in a period of time, which we will go on and learn about that further on in the sermon. But I want to bring to your attention this word, God hath called us. Here in this verse, we see the doctrine of election. God's holiness describes every attribute of God. I want to speak on this doctrine of election because sometimes this takes the forefront of everything, and we will be speaking on man's free will too this morning. Because I feel that both of these comes right in line with this personal holiness. But this doctrine of election, the doctrine of election refers to God's purpose of grace, of His grace. It is by grace that you even know God this morning. It is by grace that I'm even saved. And what a privilege it is to even have the Word of God in front of us, yet many of us take it for granted. But this doctrine of election, which refers to God's purpose of grace, that is the gracious purpose of God's election, which is central doctrine found in Scripture, which affirms that God saves sinners. The doctrine of election defines how God's grace brings salvation to His people. We see through the Old Testament and the New Testament how God revealed Himself unto a certain, how God revealed Himself and His purpose to redeem a people that they were chosen, people of God, chosen to reveal His glory through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That salvation only comes by the call of God the Father on one's life to believe what God the Father has revealed in Scripture concerning His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, and God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not that we are saved by confession, rather the mouth testifies of the grace, the unmerited love and favor of God that we have received through faith in Christ Jesus. By grace of God the Father, we are led by the Holy Ghost, which Jesus Christ sent into the world to testify that God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. By grace, by the grace of our God the Father, we are led by the Holy Ghost, which Jesus Christ sent into the world, to lead us unto repentance, which is a godly sorrow according to the will of God the Father, and is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, bringing conviction upon us. By the grace of God the Father, we are led by the Holy Ghost, which Jesus Christ sent into the world to lead us unto regeneration, the new birth, being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to enter in to the kingdom of God. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, there is neither. Because Christ said earlier in his word, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. By the grace of God the Father, we are led by the Holy Ghost, which Jesus Christ sent into the world to lead us unto justification, the remission of sin, freedom from guilt, deliverance from punishment, an act of grace by which God the Father pardons the sinners and accepts him righteous on the account of the propitiation of Jesus Christ. Propitiation stands for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, satisfying God's righteous demands, God's wrath for sin. For when we sin, we have sinned against God. When we sin, we have broken God's law. When we sin, we have broken God's word. And there's punishment. And there's only one that can make us right with God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God the Father, we are led by the Holy Ghost, which Jesus Christ sent into the world to lead us unto sanctification, which is the continuous work of the Holy Spirit begun in you at regeneration. It is the special office of the Holy Spirit in the plan of redemption to carry on to glorification, which is the pinnacle of our salvation, the highest point of our salvation. Glorification is the final and blessed abiding place when we see our Savior face to face. You know, I thank God that personal holiness is not up to me, but it's up to God. He has given us everything we ever need. He, God the Father, has sent his Son because we couldn't do nothing about our own state. And his Son sent the Holy Spirit to lead us, to convince us, to reprove us. I want to remind you again that the doctrine of election, you need to write this down or put it in the forefront of your mind, of election refers to God's purpose of grace. What a blessing it is that God chose you. What a blessing it is that God sent his only Son to die for sinners. Remind you that God did not call us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Now let's turn our attention to the doctrine of man's free will. Yes, man has a free will. Just look at the Word of God. How God chose David. And David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, David sinned against God. Until the man of God came along, shared a word with David. And David repented of his sin. Just look at the Word of God. How God chosen a people, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. How they fell away, turned from God, and sinned against God. How God led them back to a place of repentance and restore them into a right relationship with God. Time and time and time again that God did this. And time and time and time again does God work in our life through the Holy Ghost to perfect us unto the image of Christ. Just look at the Word of God, how some chose to continue on in their sin and died in their sin as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Sounds like our nation today and our world today. We want everything else, but we don't want nothing to do with God. You know what irks me? Is I cannot go into the school system and preach or teach God's Word, but they can have a song on the radio in a basketball game talking about having sex with a woman in middle school or in high school or about drinking or about drugging. But don't let me come in there talk about Jesus. That's how backwards we are. It burns me up that we're not able to do that. Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. That's why we got what we have today. It's because as a nation, we have chosen not to retain God's knowledge. And as a nation, our churches are suffering. And some of our churches have decided not to retain God's knowledge. God gave them over to be a reprobated mind. In other words, God rejected them, just as He'll reject us. Yeah, I want our nation to serve God. I want our community to serve God. But first, before we can return to God, we got to work on self, and that requires personal holiness. And the only way that we're going to receive that personal holiness is by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to teach us God's Word, to convict us of sin, to convict our hearts, to turn back to God and live wholly for God. These two doctrines of election and the doctrine of man's free will, I'll tell you where it brings me, right to the feet of Christ. Because I know that I wasn't brought up in a home that went to church every Sunday. But I know that I should be dead by now. But by the grace of God, He chosen me. By the grace of God, He loved me enough to send His only Son. That He called me out of the ditch that I was in. And He called me to a life to be holy and acceptable unto Him. And there's times where I pray that I always will dwell in His house and in His presence. And I fail at that sometimes. But I tell you that we war not against flesh or blood, but principalities. The devil wants you not to retain that knowledge. The devil wants you to realize, and our nation today would love for you to say something else besides Jesus. There was a Muslim lady that said the only way that they can combat the change that has happened in America or the changes that are happening is to declare jihad on Trump. I'm not worried about that Muslim lady, and I'm not worried about the Muslims, period. The answer to our problems is that we need to return back to the true Christ, the true Jesus Christ. We have fake gods, fake people. It's what I want to call them because they're not a true religion. There's only one true religion, and this is it. running around teaching false doctrine and causing many to go astray. I'm going to say the only thing that's going to help our society today is us here in this building. It can start with us, is to return back to God and return back to holiness. You'll probably have a lot of trials and tribulations. But I'm going to tell you, when you get there, it'll bring you to the feet of Jesus Christ. See, free will and the doctrine of election just brings me to Jesus. And I see that we live, it brings me to that cross, and that we live a holy and that I just want to live a holy and acceptable life unto God the Father, which called us unto a life of holiness by His grace. Because there's none of us right. And it's only by His grace that He's called us to live this life of personal holiness. That we live holy and unto Jesus Christ that died for us, that we may be present, that He may present our bodies holy, blameless, and without fault before God the Father. See, you would think that God had this all figured out from the beginning. And I say He did. The nation of Israel couldn't do it. The prophets of old couldn't do it. So God knew from the beginning that He would have to send His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might present us blameless and holy unto the Lord. Before God the Father, that we live holy unto the Spirit which lives in us, which guides us unto all truth, unto that great day of glorification when we will see our Lord face to face in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I will be like Him. The question is, with personal holiness, are you going to let man's restrictions dictate your life? That is a question that each and every one of us is going to be called to in the future. And as you walk with God in personal holiness, some of you may work for the school system. Some of you may hold city jobs. Are you going to let other individuals put limitations on you and your Savior? Because that will be the price that you pay for your soul. Because then and only then, you're not wise. You've turned and you've denied God. That's a hard thing. That's something that I've had to battle with in my own personal life before I was in this position. I'm not telling you to be arrogant about what you're doing. And we all know that some people get saved and they just bash everybody. I'm telling you to be smart in the way that you present your God. And be smart in the way you live your life in personal holiness unto Jesus Christ. And are you willing to pay that price? It's probably going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you everything that you thought you knew. As in other words, and I know this from firsthand experience, I was a slave to my sin. I don't know how many people here were. I know I worked all week for my sin, and it took all my money in 2 hours. It caused me to eat a bag of chips and drink from the faucet outside the gas station. Caused me to beg. I've lived that life of sin, a slave to my own addiction, which is sin, really, generally, of some sins, makes you feel good It's a pleasure. Have you lived for Christ in such a way that you become a slave to Him, that you've suffered for your Lord and Savior? Has your personal holiness, your personal walk with God led you to a path? In that sense, when this happens, this church will be full. Not with perfect people, but with sinners searching out and trying to work out their own soul salvation. Therefore, remember what the Word of God says to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. And I want you to remember that. I repeat myself, and I try to alliterate these things that maybe it'll click with you. It clicks with me. It helps me to remember. Therefore, remember, as believers, you are called to a life of holiness, set apart unto Jesus Christ alone. Remember, as believers, you are called to a life of holiness, set apart to do God's service. Last year, we were talking about this Love Our Community Day. Last year, we collected up hygiene items for the school as well. The lady said before she really wanted school supplies, she needed hygiene items for the elementary age kids. They don't mind me doing that. I pray that this leads to a bigger thing for the schools, that I'm able to get into the schools, or you guys are able to get into the schools, to be able to show them children, some of them children, that there is a different way of life. And it doesn't have to be as it is. I want to say to you this morning, either you're going to step up and live this life of personal holiness and reach outside these four walls, or that drug dealer, or that gangster, or that alcoholic would take that teenager and that child and teach them the way they wanted them to live. This is serious unto us. But before we can do that, we have to be set apart to worship our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. For we are not saved by what we do, but we are saved by what Jesus Christ has done for us. Many of these individuals outside these walls, right here in this community, they have a form of knowledge of God, but they're not set free from their bondage. Many have an ideal or perception of God, but yet live in a defeated life in the freedom that God has chosen for them. We live in a country that is free, but rapidly changing. Be careful what you say, or you may offend somebody. Freedom of speech is going out the window. Unless you're going to talk about drugs, sex, or cuss somebody out, you can go to the movies and pay for that and get cussed out. It just burdens me. I want you to remember, as you have heard today, as you have leave here today, that all that believe in Jesus Christ is called unto a life of holiness. It's not a one-foot thing. Some may be here today saying, well, I'm just coming around until this point in my life, and I'm doing this, and it might not be right, and it's still sin to God. God just wants you to step on in. God wants you to be committed. Whether it's relationships or whether it's battling other areas of sin, God just wants you to submit and give Himself to you, to Him, that you will come under His authority. that you will believe in his Son, and that you will have everlasting life. Youth and young adults, life is not fair. There's many problems. But I can tell you that the Bible will not steer you wrong. And I can tell you that God will not lead you astray. He is a sure foundation in which any young man or young woman can build their life upon. And let me say, not only that, but you will be able to have peace when the fires and trials and tribulations come into your life. Because the Lord your God is the rock of your salvation. What used to stress me out when I first got saved doesn't stress me out as it used to. Because I've learned to have faith and that God will bring me through these things. And thank God that we're not a robot. Because every time you mess up, think about man's free will, because you just chose to do what you did. But thank God that God has called you unto salvation and you know the Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ. He has called you to live a life of holiness, set apart to God, set apart to do God's service. Church, I know that the sign-up sheets are out, and I will be calling them individuals that's on that sheet to see where you would like to work in this community day. I want to talk to the older saints that may be not able to come that day. You guys have the most important job, and I'm going to speak up a little bit so they ensure they hear me. You guys, the older saints, have the most important job. And that is to pray that the pastors of these churches and the younger folks of this church will get outside and present the gospel, that God will prosper our ways. It is for you guys to pray and to come by the hallways to give short admonition to the younger folks and to teach. Some of you older saints do not know what a blessing it is right now just to go by and say something to the younger saints as you pass in the hallway. But I ask earnestly for your prayers for this event, for our church, and for the lives that we reach out to. I ask earnestly that you'll pray that each and every individual will seek out a life holy unto Jesus Christ, that they will live a life of personal holiness unto Him. If you're here this morning and you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and are burdened in your heart, or God has troubled your heart, just ask Him to come into your heart today. Submit to Him. If you want someone to pray with you, feel free to come to the front. If any of you are in need of prayer, feel free to come to the front. If anyone here don't want to come to the front, feel free to come by the church office. I'm sure that one of us will be here, and we don't mind praying and talking with you. But I ask you today to get it in your heart whom you will serve. Get it settled in your heart whom you will serve.